Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, 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 and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, welcome to another episode of Locked On Bulls. I'm Sean Hyken of The Athletic. I'm the co-host of Locked On Bulls. I don't have Cody with me today, but Jimmy Butler had his press conference in Minnesota, introducing himself as a member of the Timberwolves with Tom Thibodeau. He gave out his phone number, so, you know, it was a whole thing. It went viral. It was great. And so I recorded a podcast with my buddy John Krasinski, who covers the Timberwolves and the NBA for the Associated Press. He's one of the more plugged-in guys on that team in general and has been there for a number of years. And so we kind of talk about a number of different things. We talk about the press conference. We talk about how big this trade is for Minnesota, considering that the franchise hasn't had a lot of success over the years. We talk about how he's going to fit there on the court. And then he gives Bulls fans a little bit of perspective on what they can maybe expect from Chris Dunn and Zach LaVine going forward. So it's a good conversation. I think it's worth listening to. Now, as far as Bulls stuff goes, we're still kind of status quo before free agency starts. I've still been told they haven't made a decision about Rajon Rondo's non-guaranteed deal for next season. That might happen by the time this goes up. It might not. It might go down to midnight tomorrow when free agency actually starts. This is probably going to be the last episode that we record before then. Our next one will be sometime either over the weekend or early next week once the Bulls make their moves in free agency. I would imagine it's going to be a pretty quiet free agency period for them. They're probably going to get deals done pretty quickly with Nico Mirotic and Chris Felicio to bring them back and then maybe sign a couple of veterans just to have bodies and have depth. Cody and I did a more in-depth breakdown on that during yesterday's episode. So in the meantime, enjoy this interview I did with John Krasinski about Jimmy Butler's fit in Minnesota.
All right, John, thanks for coming on and doing this.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sean.
So it sounds like I was watching it on NBA TV. You were obviously there. It seems like it was a little bit of a party. Like they had a whole crowd there. They like let the public in. So was it set up like, did they have like the public like behind the media, or was it like a separate thing? Because they had an MC. Like, what was that about?
Yeah, so it was a celebration for sure for a franchise that doesn't get to celebrate a whole lot. So basically, it's at the Mall of America, which I think everyone is pretty familiar with, the largest mall in North America. And so they had it in this rotunda. So they had a big stage set up. There's an amusement park right behind it. Then they had a DJ was spinning Kendrick Lamar and kind of getting everyone amped up. And then so the mall itself is like four levels. And so this rotunda is kind of right in the middle, and all four of these levels, the people can stand at the guardrails and look down, right down at the stage. And so, that's where everyone is. And so there was, I don't know. I mean, there were several hundred, it may have even been 1,000 people that kind of crowded around this area and were kind of looking down and watching the proceedings. So, the Wolves did as much as they could to kind of amp it up, and the MC was kind of saying that, you know, this is the biggest press conference in Timberwolves history. The one where they actually announced the franchise may have been a little bit bigger, but in general, it's not that big of a stretch. I mean, to get a top 15 player in his prime to come to Minnesota, a franchise that hasn't made the playoffs in 13 years, it's a pretty big deal. And so they were really trying to roll out the red carpet for Jimmy, and it looked like he kind of soaked it up. He ate it up a little bit.
Right. I mean, one thing we've kind of seen with Jimmy the last couple of years in Chicago, since he's really become a star, because obviously early on he was more of just kind of a role player. He didn't play much and didn't have much of an offensive ceiling. And then obviously he became the guy he is now. He likes being the guy. He really has embraced that the last couple of years. And, you know, sometimes that's rubbed people the wrong way in terms of the way he's approached it during, but like, that's something he definitely likes. So I think, you know, this is just a huge, I agree with the guy who said that this is the biggest press conference. This is a huge thing for the Timberwolves. Cause like the last couple of years, like they're the hot, young, like people like to talk about them as like they're gonna be like the next, you know, Oklahoma City Thunder in 2009, where they have these young guys. Karl Anthony Towns is obviously, you know, already considered one of the best young big men in the league, and then they hire Tom Thibodeau, who's one of the most respected coaches. And then last year they still only win 31 games, because it's hard to win with young guys, and then you trade for a star in his prime, and yeah, I think now they're probably expected to make the playoffs, and it'll be a disappointing season if they don't, and it sort of changes like their whole expectations for the franchise.
Yeah, it does. And I mean, and the other thing I think that was important about the pomp and circumstance of today is that there is a perception league-wide that players don't want to come here, and they're right. I mean, partly because the franchise has been so down on its luck and largely irrelevant for most of its existence.
They haven't made the playoffs since
2004,
right?
Yes, since 2004, the longest active streak in the league, which, I mean, you know, Sean, I mean, in this league, even in the West, it's hard to miss the playoffs that often for that many years in a row. I mean, you have to work at it to make the mistakes that are required to keep you from even from making an 8 seed every once in a while. And so, yeah, so they've perpetually kind of been a doormat. And last year, there's no question that there was a lot of excitement kind of going into the season around Towns, Wiggins, LaVine, around kind of this young and exciting core and this great coach that was coming in. And they really expected a lot more, to be quite honest. I mean, two more wins than the year before. It was a really deflating season for Timberwolves fans, the few that were still around. And so to get a veteran, established player that you know you don't have to wait for any longer to kind of speed up the process here for these young guys as well and bring them along with them, I really do think it does wonders for the expectations. Now it doesn't feel so much like you have to go out on a limb and you have to make a leap of faith that if this happens or if that happens, things will work out. Now it's like there would have to be something to go wrong for it at least not to be in the playoffs and not to be relevant again. And that's what everyone around here is craving so much. And so that's why you're seeing so much energy. That's why you're seeing so much enthusiasm about Jimmy Butler and about what he represents. Is finally an established star player is in Minnesota and is enjoying the experience. And so they kind of want to welcome him with open arms and say, yeah, you might not have the 4 a.m. bar times that you do in Chicago. You might not have all of the ritzy glamour that you do there, but there's still some pretty cool things to do here, and we'll still love you and put you on a pedestal. And that's what they're starting to do right now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the idea of him recruiting guys is actually a huge thing because, you know, he's obviously, you know, the last year he played with Dwayne Wade and those two grew really close, and Wade is also one of, like, the most respected guys around the league in terms of, like, the big stars. And then Jimmy was also on Team USA last summer, so he's friends with, like, Kyrie Irving and Kyle Lowry and whoever. Like, there are guys, like, Jimmy's now, I think, in that circle of players that the most elite guys in the league, like, respect and will, like, return texts from when they try to recruit them. And Jimmy said, he seemed to indicate at that press conference that he's going to try hard to recruit whoever to come to Minnesota. I don't know whether that means Kyle Lowry or Paul Millsap or maybe a reunion with Taj Gibson. I don't know. But I think they're at, I mean, this definitely makes them more of a free agent market now.
Yeah, I think you're right, too. And much like where the fans kind of were, you know, just saying, okay, prove it to me. Show me. You have to prove that you're ready to win before I'm going to reinvest in you. I think that getting Jimmy Butler shows free agents that they are serious about winning and winning right away now, that they're, you know, if they were to go out and get a Lowry or whoever to come in, you can say when they visit here for their free agent visit, you can say, you don't have to say, hey, look, we want you to teach Karl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins and Zach LaVine. And we know these guys are ready to take the next step. So you just come here and you're the missing piece and we can make it all go. Well, now that they have Jimmy Butler here, now it's less about mentorship and it's less about kind of bringing things along slowly. And it's more about let's go for it right now. Let's win as much as we can right now. And so that appeals. I mean, they have some money to spend as well. And if they really want a big time guy like Lowry, they would have to move Ricky Rubio and maybe some other pieces.
They've been trying to move Ricky for a while, though, right?
They have and they haven't. You know, there's certainly been discussions. They had talks with the Knicks about Derrick Rose in February, and ultimately pulled out of those conversations. What they want to do is they will move him if they can upgrade. It's not a situation where they'll move him just for the sake of moving him because they don't think he can help them.
But if they get like Kyle Lowry or Drew Holiday
They get Lowry or Holiday, yes, he definitely gets moved. But I can tell you, in talking to people in the organization, there still is, despite all the rumors and all the suggestion, there still is a real chance that he's the starting point guard in training camp. And so there would have to be some things that are smoothed over to make that all work out. But certainly they're entertaining scenarios. They're looking at possibilities. And if they can get another big high profile guy, they will move him, but they are not just doing it at all costs here. They're trying to be smart about it.
So from your perspective, just from like talking to people in the Timberwolves organization, because you're probably as plugged in as anybody with that particular organization, like how quickly, from your sense, did this come together before draft night? Like how far in advance were the Bulls talking about it? Like at least from what you're able to gather.
Yeah. What I can tell you, Sean, is that about 2 weeks prior to the draft, the Bulls started to reaching out to several teams, including the Timberwolves, and basically saying, "Hey, make us your best offer. What would you give us for Jimmy?" And so that started the process anew, because I reported this week as well that last draft night the two sides were incredibly close to a deal of Levine and Dunn for Jimmy Butler. It just fell apart at the last minute. But they were substantive talks that were going on right up until the Wolves made their pick of Chris Dunn and then moved on. But so at any rate, they hear from the Bulls about 2 weeks ago. There also is, I think, this perception and this knowledge around the league that Gar Foreman and John Paxson are maybe not the most decisive front office in the league, and
right.
So there was no sense to them at that point making their very best offer, because they know they'd shop that around and they'd him and they ha and they'd try and kind of take advantage of them. So it wasn't until about an hour before the draft that they finally said, okay, we will give you Zach LaVine as part of this package, and let's get this thing done, take it or leave it, essentially. And that's what got it done. About an hour before the draft, I really started getting signals from people quietly inside the organization that they thought a deal was getting done. And then I think about 5 minutes into the draft, it was official, or it was broken, and then became official a little bit later. So it was kind of a slow process, and the Wolves just said, well, we're going to wait to drop the hammer until the last minute and force them to make the decision, and then it all worked out.
And so switching gears a little bit, that was interesting that they reached out a couple of weeks beforehand, because I had kind of heard before that, like, that they were, you know, they would trade him if they got an offer that just absolutely blew them away, and I hadn't heard that they were, like, actively shopping him, because after the after the season ended, they kind of said that they were kind of leaning towards just running it back. I didn't ever get the sense that they were going to just trade him whatever the best offer that they got was on draft night. But clearly, you know, I think that seems like that was the case, because I had thought they'd get a lot more for him, and I'm not as down on what they got back as other people are. Now, switching gears a little bit, how do you think Jimmy is going to fit on the court in Minnesota? Because he and Wiggins are both kind of isolation-heavy players, and, you know, Wiggins, I think, has been a little bit miscast to this point in his career as, like, the kind of defensive stopper that, like, a Jimmy Butler and Paul George are. Like, I think he can evolve into that kind of a player eventually. He's got the physical tools, but I don't think he is there quite yet. Like how do you see this all working on the court?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, Sean, to see it all play together, because I do think there's no question that when Wiggins first came into the league and the Wolves started to develop him, they basically said that the goal internally was in 3 or 4 or 5 years for Wiggins to eventually be Jimmy Butler, to put more body mass, to get bigger, stronger, tougher, to be that two-way stopper and that score late in games. And really, they do kind of mirror each other's game offensively, in terms of they do like to ISO. They do both like to shoot the mid-range jumper. They're both all right at threes, not great at threes. So it'll be kind of interesting to see how they incorporate the two of them together and make the offense work without it getting the paint getting bogged down by the defense. Now, what the Wolves say is that Jimmy's passing and playmaking ability will keep defenses on their heels. I mean, what, he averaged like 5.5 assists last season, and I would say that I don't think it's any stretch to say that with Towns and Wiggins, he has better offensive firepower around him here than he did in Chicago last year. And so the options will open up a little bit more. I think they want to see Wiggins continue to progress from three-point range the way he did over the second half of last season. Maybe they do add a point guard who can hit threes, or a stretch four who can hit threes to help them space the floor a little bit more as well. But I know that Tibbs envisions at the end of games a kind of pick your poison type of a situation where maybe it's Towns in the post, maybe it's Butler in ISO, maybe it's Wiggins in ISO, and you can't really double hard on any of them at any one time. And if you do, they swing, and there's an open shot somewhere else. And so that's the vision. We'll see how long it takes for them to kind of figure it out, and who gets the shot now and whose turn is it now, and how they keep the ball moving. But there's a lot of optimism here that once they get it down, they're going to be an awfully difficult group to stop late in games, which was their big problem last year.
Yeah, and I think just this trade makes it even more, you know, imperative that, you know, like you said, they upgrade to a point guard who can shoot. I mean, Ricky Rubio is obviously an incredible playmaker. He's a pretty good point guard defender, but he can't shoot. He's never probably going to be able to shoot in his career. He's, what, 6 or 7 years into his career now? He still hasn't developed a shot. I don't think that's ever going to happen. So if they got somebody like Drew Holiday, who can make plays but could also play off the ball if you have the ball in Jimmy's hands a lot, but then is also a threat to make the outside shot, I think that's, you know, that would be a lot better fit, I think, than what they have right now.
There certainly is, yeah, there's absolutely that argument, Sean. I'm a Rubio guy myself, so I saw him over the last 2 months of last year really shot the ball well and increased his scoring and became more of a factor there. I don't know if that's sustainable, and I don't think the Wolves know if that's sustainable as well, which is why they are certainly entertaining other options and other scenarios. I do think that, again, like in this situation, if you kept Rubio, he would get more wide open and clean looks than he ever got before, so I think he could knock those down. But yeah, there's no question that if they were to add a Lowry, if they were to add a Holiday, a George Hill type, who is more proficient and more consistent there, it would fit in better. Would they be the same level of passer and defender that Rubio is? You might take some steps back there, so you give some to get some. But I would like to see Rubio get a chance to play with these guys, just to see how much he can raise his game, because I think there's more in there to get. But I also fully acknowledge that there are probably some players who would be upgrades. It's just a matter of whether they can close those deals or not.
Right. Now, Chris Dunn, I mean, that's a guy, obviously, he was one of the guys that the Bulls got back in the trade. He was a guy they were very high on before the draft last year. When they were talking with both the Timberwolves and with the Celtics on last draft night about the Butler trade, that's the guy they were targeting. Tom was obviously high on him. He had a pretty disappointing rookie season. At his own press conference the other day, he even said himself, he acknowledges that he had a bad season. What do you see from him long term? Do you think, you know, that he is kind of what he is, or do you think there's room for him to get better? Where do you see his career going?
I think he has room to get better. I think he has starting caliber point guard tape potential, to be honest, Sean. I mean, I was really dumbfounded by the way they handled Chris Dunn last year. You bring him in as the number five pick, you're kind of thinking that maybe he's the heir apparent to Rubio. Now, Rubio played exceedingly well over the second half of last season and really earned the playing time. But as soon as they were essentially eliminated from playoff contention, which, hey, they were 6-18 to start, so, I mean, they were buried from the beginning, I just thought that they did a disservice to Chris Dunn by not playing him more consistently and giving him bigger minutes. There were so many times, even late in the season, where he'd play 9 minutes a night, 11 minutes a night, 7 minutes a night. He'd get one shift in the first half and then not play the rest of the year and the rest of the game. And part of that is Tibbs trying to hold him accountable and help him learn slowly and gradually. But I think that there were there was an argument that just put him out there and let him play. And so I think in Chicago, if you give him 28, 30 minutes a night, I really think you'll see him improve by leaps and bounds rather quickly. He's very explosive. He has to work on his decision-making, on the way that he runs the team. Defensively, he is already very, very good. He can really lock into guys. He's physical. He's quick. He's nasty that way. And so, you know, I know a lot of people are really down on what the Bulls got, but I may be biased, but I think Dunn is a starting caliber point guard, and I think Zach LaVine has star potential. And so, you know, if you get those guys, and even if Markkanen turns into a Mirotić type or whatever you want to call it, that's a pretty darn good package for a guy who you were going to part with anyway. I think you can argue it's better than what the Clippers got for Chris Paul.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dunn is probably going to project. I mean, we're going to have to see, and this podcast is going up later today, so by that time we might already see what they decide to do with Rajon Rondo. They could either keep him or waive him before the guarantee kicks in on his contract. But I would imagine, just given how inconsistent Jaren Grant and how, you know, terrible Cameron Payne was, frankly, last year, that Chris Dunn is probably going to go into the season as the Bulls' opening night starting point guard, and he's going to get a lot of minutes. I mean, you were talking about how inconsistent his minutes were and how he maybe wasn't getting time. Like, going back to his time in Chicago, Tom Thibodeau does not like to give rookies
right
a lot of rope. You can ask Doug McDermott about that. You can ask Jimmy Butler about that. He barely played his own rookie season. I know they had Luol Deng then still playing, kind of playing the same position, but he barely got in for most of his rookie year and then part of his second year, too. So, you know, maybe that's going to be part of it. Maybe he's just, you know, needs a bigger opportunity, but he's going to certainly get that in Chicago. And, you know, then with LaVine, it'll be interesting to see whether he can actually, you know, for a guy as explosive of an athlete as he is, you know, to have that knee injury. And I think they're going to be pretty conservative with him coming back. But, you know, I think I was really encouraged by the way he's been able to, like, get better at shooting the three the last couple of seasons, especially this past year. So I think there's hope that, you know, he can actually be, like, your go-to offensive guy in the long term, like, if he makes a recovery from this injury.
Yeah, I can't be higher on LaVine than I am. I mean, he has defensive deficiencies, there's no question, but what you guys will find out in Chicago really quickly is what an incredible worker he is. I mean, he is not he's won dunk contests and things like that, but he's not the Gerald Green type of flighty kind of super athlete that's just trying to get by on being able to jump out of the gym. He is a maniac in terms of working on his craft, in terms of trying to absorb, create criticism and teaching, and really wanting to be great. He can get his shot whenever he wants. He's a very, very good 3-point shooter already, and I think that long term with him, if you make him the focal point of your offense and give him the first option and the bulk of the shots where he's not playing off of Towns and Wiggins as much as the third option here, I really do think he has the chance to be an explosive offensive player. And he's very likable. He's down to earth. He's funny. I really think that, you know, Bulls fans, once he gets out on the court and once you spend a little time around him as a media group and stuff, you're really going to say, this guy's the real deal. He's the kind of guy that you can build around and not feel like he's going to let you down in terms of working hard or doing something stupid off the court, things like that. He's one of my favorites I've covered since I've been here.
Well, that's good to know, and I think a lot of Bulls fans who are pretty down on what they got back in the trade are going to be happy to know that if that ends up panning out. John, obviously I've taken up a lot of your time now. I'll let you go, but real quick, you can find John's stuff on the AP. You can follow him on Twitter at AP Krasinski, which, can you spell that? I can't spell it off the top of my head.
That's right. APKRAWCZYNSKI.
And then you have your own podcast, right?
I do. We have the You Betcha Basketball podcast up here with Jim Suhan from the Star Tribune. And it's all Wolves, all NBA, all the time. There's a link to it on my Twitter profile, MNSPN.com. And so the latest one we had was breaking down the Butler trade with Jim Peterson, one of the best local color analysts in the
Jim's
business.
Great.
And so check it out and hope everyone enjoys it.
All right. Well, thanks for doing this, John. I'll see you in Vegas in a couple weeks.
All right. Great. Thanks, Sean.
Yeah. Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.